بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, we are beginning the Sira Solution Workshop in Kuwait. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His barakah, for His acceptance, and for us to be able to practice the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. We started this series of workshops a few months ago. The first one was in Hyderabad in India, and then we did it in Nigeria, in Sri Lanka, in Qatar, and now we are doing it here, and bismillah ta'ala, the next one will probably most likely be in Oman. And then after Ramadan in America and so on. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help in propagating the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam everywhere in the world. In Nigeria, I was interviewed by one of the TV channels, and the man asked me, "What is your purpose in doing this?" So I said to him, "My purpose is to take the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to every living man and woman on the face of the earth. What they do with that message is up to them. To take the message is my goal. And inshallah, I want this to become the goal of everyone who attends these workshops anywhere in the world. To take the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to every living man and woman on the face of the earth." I want to begin with one of my favorite stories from the seerah, which illustrates for me the whole aspect of seerah itself. And before we go into the story, we remind ourselves of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد The story I want to begin with is a very beautiful story, and it illustrates to me, it is the tafsir of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a ni'mah for all human beings. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah said, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was from among themselves. So this is a great favor because it's a double favor. One is the favor that Allah sent guidance, and the second favor is that the one who brought the guidance was a human being, he was from within the human beings. And in the case of the first mukhatibin of the ayat, the Quraysh and the Arabs, the guide and the person who came with hidayah was from among their own people, their own tribe, their own family. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He mentioned four things that Rasulullah ﷺ had been sent to do and which he did. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, reciting to them the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wayuzakkihim, purifying them. Wayuallimuhumul kitaba, and teaching them the book. Wal hikmah, and the wisdom and the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again re-emphasized and said that verily before that time, these people were misguided, they were in manifest error. The story I want to share with you from the Seerah is a story that is narrated by Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. And he speaks about a time when he himself was very young. He said that in Medina, one time, a lot of young boys came to visit and stay with Rasulullah. And he said they came from all over the place, from different tribes all across Arabia. This whole group of young boys came and they stayed in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. They were, their food was brought from the houses of Rasulullah. They were the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, I ask you to reflect on these things. When we talk about the Ahadith and Nabawiyyah, it's important to put yourself in that situation. Not just look at the Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a story, as a narrative, as an incident that is being described, but to see the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as something which is a situation in which you and I find ourselves. So think about it like that, as if you are there in this group. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam face to face one day, inshallah. So in this situation now, there was this whole bunch of young boys who had come at the invitation of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his house, to his masjid. And they were staying with him. And Ka'b bin Malik says, radhiyallahu anhu, that they stayed for a long time. So maybe a couple of weeks. And he said a time came when Rasulullah, who was very sensitive to the feelings of people, he was very sensitive to the vibes that he got from people. He sensed that these boys were, some of them at least, were feeling lonely. And they were missing their families and missing their parents and so on. So he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called us and he asked us, are you missing your families? Do you want to go home? Now put yourself in that situation. That's why I'm asking you, put yourself in that situation. Imagine those boys, they came to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are there, they are, I mean, what can be better than being in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But then, you know, your own feelings and your own humanness is there with you. So you're also missing your parents and the young boys. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking them, are you missing your parents? Do you want to go home? You know, what must they be thinking? How do I tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I want to go home, which means I want to leave your company? How can I say I want to leave your company? But the reality also is that I do want to go home also. So it's a kind of, dilemma. They don't know what to say. So we said nothing. So he said, Rasulullah smiled and he said, remember all that I taught you. And he said, pray as you have seen me pray. He said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. And then he said, we dispersed and we went home. Now the reason I'm saying that I want to begin with this story and why this story to me is in a way the tafsir of this ayat karima of the Quran is because this is the essence of the purpose of Rasulullah. This story shows the reason why the Nabi came alayhi salam. He came to transform the lives of people and he started with the young. He never ran a maktab or a nursery. He worked with people with shaur. He worked with youngsters who had intelligence, who had discretion, who could think, who could understand, and then he worked with their parents. So he worked with both. He worked with people who had intelligence and people also who had experience. He worked with the parents of these youngsters also, because if you take the Sahaba, there were people who were older, the people who were leaders in their own right, people who, some of them were remarkable leaders, who were very well known for their for their leadership qualities and for their expertise in various areas. And that is how he was able to bring about this change in society in such a short time. Addressing the right audience is very important. It's not only important to be able to say the right thing, but you should also be speaking to the right people. If you are not speaking to the right people, sure, you will convince them, but then you are convincing people who have no power. You are convincing people who really can't do anything. In the case of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that did not happen. He was talking to the right audience, and that is why we see the change that he was able to bring about. So this story illustrates that. This story illustrates this whole issue of tarbiyah, of yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, and the nasiha that Rasulullah ﷺ gave to these boys when they were leaving. And remember, when they were leaving, Rasulullah ﷺ did not give them a 3-hour lecture. He didn't ask them to give him feedback. He didn't tell them, tell me your tasurat. He gave them only a one-line advice. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. And the reason he did that is because that is the most powerful way of sending home a message. The reality is, no matter how interested you are, you have come for this two-day workshop, I can guarantee you that even the most interested person is not going to remember everything that happens in these 2 days. It's simply not possible. You should take notes. I hope you will take notes. You should not take pictures of or screenshots of the slides. You all know this. But then I know you will do both. You will not take notes and you will take pictures of the slides. And that is the reason why you will not remember. And that's the reason. I mean, for me, it really makes no difference because I give all this away for free. So what difference does it make to me? Take all the pictures and go and do what you want with it. It makes no difference. I mean, I want this message to spread all over the world. So if you think you are stealing, you're not stealing. You're doing my work for me. So alhamdulillah, steal. I'm not trying to hide anything, right? But my primary purpose is not to turn you into postmen, that you have learnt nothing and all you are doing is distributing. You know, in Tamil, there's a term which is a tapalkaran, the postman. You don't want to make you into tapalkaran. We want you to actually practice. Sallu. Did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, go teach them salah? No. He said, sallu. Pray. Kama ra'aytumuni usalli. And that is why this story illustrates the purpose of the bi'sat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is the greatest example for us because Rasulullah, why is he talking about salah? I'm sure that those 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever time it was that these boys spent with Nabi Sallallahu, he wasn't teaching them only salah. No, he didn't start in the morning till the night, he's talking only salah, 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 salah. No. He would have taught them many things. But final takeaway, it's like asking somebody, if there is only one thing to take away, what will you take away? And that is what he's telling them. One thing, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. Because the salah in Islam is such a beautiful thing that it encompasses everything about Islam. Salah is about ruju' ilallah. Salah is about tawheed, ruju' ilallah. To turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah. Salah is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How do I turn towards Allah? The way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards Allah. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Turn towards Allah. Pray as you have seen me pray. Salah is all about order and system and practice. It is all about systematic learning. It is all about systematic work. One of our key peeves, organizing courses practically anywhere in the world, is last minute, within quotes, registrations. No matter how much in advance we may announce a course, people will not come in time, people will not register, and people will register only at the last minute. So until 2 days before, 3 days before, I remember there was one time where I almost had a heart attack one day when I landed here in Kuwait because we were doing the LEC. And the LEC, as you know, many of you here are you know, LEC, you attended the LEC here. So I think it was the first or second time or something, maybe second time, we were doing the LEC. And when I landed in Kuwait, I keep asking Manshabhai, how many participants? We have enough, don't worry, please come. So I landed in Kuwait, and it was a Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday, I was supposed to do one lecture on that Thursday night, and then there was Jummah, and we LEC was starting, or it was Wednesday night, we LEC started on Jummah. So LEC started Jummah, so Wednesday and Thursday, two lectures. So when I landed, I asked him, Manshabhai, how many participants do we have? Manshabhai says, 3. So almost the LEC could not be held because I would have attained Shahada, and then, you know, the teacher is gone, so how would you have the LEC? He said, 3. And Manshabhai is absolutely, may Allah give him, you know, he's got tawakkul inside his heart. So he said, don't worry. He said, aapko kya karna hai, aap course padhao. Don't worry. How many did we end up in that course? 75. Now, point is, this may look like a, you know, Manshabhai ki karamat, mashallah, very good. Nothing wrong. But seriously, I ask you, what is the use of working like this? Tell me. But this is not about Kuwait. Every single country that I have taught any Islamic course, this is the standard. The standard is unsystematic working. Just passion. Last minute running, last minute rushing, for what? Now, alhamdulillah, the way I prepare for courses, I mean, all of you know, every course has a book written for it. Published book written for it. Alhamdulillah. There is a complete structure to this whole course. It begins at, I'm not talking through the top of my turban. I teach a properly researched, prepared, structured course. So my submission is, bring system into your lives. Salah teaches us that. The reason I'm saying this is I'm trying to connect our daily life and on the way we do work with the lessons from the seerah. That is the whole point of the seerah. So, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. As I said, salah teaches tawhid, salah teaches risalat and sunnah. Salah teaches a systematic way of working. In salah, there is a complete system that we follow, and it's a totally rigid system. There is no give in that system. I can't say, no, Allah, I am standing in salah, I love Allah so much, these two sajda not enough for me. I am going to do 25 sujood in every rakat. You can do 25 sujood, nobody stops you, but your salah is invalid. You will have to repeat this salah because the salah is gone, khalas. System. Proper system at its time. There is a beginning time of salah. There is an ending time of salah. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the one who delays salah? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. So here in this beautiful piece of advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this one sentence is reminding those sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, those young students who came to him, about the whole essence of life, of how to live their lives and be humongously successful in this dunya wal akhirah by concentrating on that one thing. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. And the last thing, and last not because I'm running out of count, but because I want to, end this opening. And the last thing of salah is, the result of this salah is what? Is the effect of this salah in the rest of our lives. Salah which gives us tawakkul. Salah which gives us complete and total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah which takes away the fear and the anxiety and so on and so forth from our hearts. Salah which teaches us and reminds us that this world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. About which he said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُضِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل
وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب.
This world belongs to Allah. Today we are living in all kinds of anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen here? What will happen there? What will happen? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills will happen. What Allah does not will cannot happen. No matter who makes what kind of noise, only what Allah wills will happen. Salah teaches us that. Ruju ila Allah, tawakkul ala Allah, and trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally and completely in everything. And living our lives how? According to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which is what salah is. Salah is the best example of the following of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do we pray the way we pray? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed this way. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to put in our hearts love for the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Because to follow the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the finest and the only way to succeed both in dunya wal akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.